Greetings. You're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 359944, Westminster, Colorado, 80035. Phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, how do you spell Cephas? In John 1:42 and 1 Peter 2:5, the Bible states, Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S, C like in Charles, E, P as in Peter, H as in help, A, S as in Sam. The reason I have to bring up the preliminaries again is not to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. I hope you tell others about us. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if listeners have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster's Dictionary states the following. Matrix is something like a mold or womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child, but has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it's outside of the womb. This program will be about exposing the matrix, the religious matrix. There's something that is inside the matrix are or could be listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to the program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are the something that is inside of the matrix. This program will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and seemingly like a messiah, attracts people of faith, interfaith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself like no other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I'll get to that later. To help you understand why we are where we are today, I have to go back in history to show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he only has a short time to live, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by millions expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping that he will be an acting savior, even though his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, and tolerance. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam, in spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians 6:15? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version. The prophet describes what God told him. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men. God promises that he will be the glory of Jerusalem again. The Lord told Zion to come home because he wants them to know him and rejoice because he plans to live in the midst of them. The verses end with, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." Last week ended with Pope Benedict XVI appointing Jesuits to notable positions in his curia. And this week I'm going back to the history of the Inquisition, why it happened. Not only did Jesuits have their disputes with the popes, but other people protested against the Vatican way back in the 13th century. The spread of truth by the Albigenses and Waldenses in France gave rise to the Inquisition in the beginning of the 13th century. These early Protestants, who had existed even according to the testimony of the enemies from the immemorial, were the special objects of papal wrath when it was found that they still flourished despite sword and canon law. The Holy Office of Inquisition was established in order to exterminate by systematic and continuous efforts the dissensions of Rome. From Rome, in the Inquisition there existed a combination of espionage which extended far and wide into every circle of power before even crowned and mitered heads quailed, and of cruelty unequally by the false prophet Mahomet was propagated, his mendacious system by the sword and even by pagan Rome itself. Dominic, or rather Saint Dominic, is generally regarded as the founder of the Inquisition, and with great justice, for though it was not fully established in this time, yet he was undoubtedly its founder. Dubius, a Romish historian, says, "About that time, Pope Innocent III, as Sixtus V, relates in his diploma for the institution of the Festival of St. Peter the Martyr, authorized the godlike Dominic to distinguish himself against heretics by constant preaching and meetings for discussion, and that he should either reconcile them to the church if they were willing to be reconciled, or strike them with just sentence if they were unwilling to return." The crusaders against the heretics had been carried on with great vigor. Cities and towns were taken by storm. Fire and sword were borne far and wide through the dominions of the court of Toulouse in the south of France, by crusaders who wore a cross on the breast. To distinguish them from crusaders in the Holy Land who wore the same symbol on the right shoulder, an army of no less than 500,000 took the field, amongst whom were conspicuous archbishops and bishops, abbots and all orders, clergy, secular, and religious. These spared neither age nor sex, but as a plague of locusts literally devoured the land. Yet all this was not sufficient. It was deemed expedient that a systematized effort should be made by Holy Mother Church, in truth a cruel stepdame for the utter extermination of Protestants. Dominic was selected as the man to commence the project. He was born in Spain in the year of 1170, and after his ordination he traveled to France, and seeing the progress Protestantism made, his zeal for popery was inflamed, and he besought His Holiness that he might unite with those who had been sent forth to preach against the Waldenses. His wish being gratified, he soon distinguished himself by his energy and occupied a leading position amongst the enemies of Protestantism. He became the founder of an order called Dominicans. And when it was seen that existing law and efforts, though surely cruel enough, were not effectual as it was wished in checking the advance of Protestantism, he was appointed to make inquisition independently of, but not against, the bishops as to heretics, and to hand them over, when convicted, to the civil power to be put to death. This he did, it seems, most effectually. It was not, however, until later years, when the Inquisition was thoroughly established. Begun in France, it soon after introduced into Spain and other countries, and for ages proved to be the most terrible engine of cruelty and injustice ever disgraced the annals of the past. The Spanish Inquisition and Tombs of Torquemada. Pedro Beauregret, St. Dominus, presides over the Auto da Fe, 1495. Many artistic representations depict torture and burning at the stake as occurring during the Auto da Fe, Portuguese for act of faith. Portugal and Spain in the late Middle Ages consisted largely of multicultural territories of Muslim and Jewish influence, reconquered from Islamic control, and the new Christian authorities could not assume that all their subjects would suddenly become and remain Orthodox Roman Catholics. So the Inquisition in Iberia, in the lands of Reconquista countries, counties and kingdoms like Leon, Castile and Aragon, had a special social political basis as well as more fundamental religious motives. In some parts of Spain toward the end of the 14th century, there was a wave of violent anti-Judaism encouraged by the preaching of Ferrant Martinez, Archdeacon of Ecija, in the programs of June 1391 in Seville. Hundreds of Jews were killed and the synagogues were completely destroyed. And the number of people killed was so high in other cities such as Cordoba, Valencia, and Barcelona. One of the consequences of these pogroms was the mass conversion of thousands of surviving Jews. Forced baptism was contrary to the law of the Catholic Church, and theoretically anybody who had been forcibly baptized could legally return to Judaism. However, this was very narrowly interpreted. Legal definitions of the time theoretically acknowledged that a forced baptism was not a valid sacrament, but confined to cases where it was literally administered by physical force. A person who had consented to baptism under great threat of death or serious injury was still regarded as a voluntary convert, and accordingly forbidden to revert to Judaism. After the public violence, many of the converted felt it safer to remain in their new religion. Thus, after 1391, a new social group appeared and were referred to as conversos, or new Christians. This is to be continued next week. In signing off, events are moving as rapidly as can be. Please get involved and tell your circle of family, friends, and coworkers about our website, matrix.cephasministry.com. matrix.cephasministry.com. It was updated with the most telling YouTubes ever on the bottom of the post. They are a must for all believers. For free comprehensive monthly news, sign up at go-cephas.com. Go-cephas.com. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Shalom.